when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon and good evening to all you dear Blood River Radio family members out there. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope we have some new people listening in. Even if you don't like us, you might, you know, if you don't like us right now, you might change your mind if you're by listening to us for a while, especially if you were white and especially if you're a Christian. But you're listening to Blood River Radio. That's right, Blood River Radio. We pride ourselves as being probably the only radio station in the United States and even in Europe that I'm aware of that we have pledged all of our honor, what little fortune we have, pledged to God that we were going to fight against global white genocide with every means at our disposal. And I tell you what, people, there's not many of us doing that nowadays. A lot of people we used to think were rock solid. They have run for the high ground, especially after Charlottesville. Yes, the Battle of Charlottesville, August the 12th of 2017, changed everything. But anyway, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and this is December the 23rd in the year of our Lord and Savior, 2023. Year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2023. Jesus Christ Almighty, God, the only name under the sun which man can be saved. That never changes. And people, if you know, we always have a prayer here. We always do. And as long as I have breath in my body, we will always do that before we commence any operation on Blood River Radio. So if you will, just hang, bow your head for a minute, if you will. Almighty God, maker of all heaven and earth, of all that's seen and unseen. Like we said before, God, not only did you create everything in the periodic table, you created the periodic table. You created all the seen and unseen. Nothing was here, Lord, before you spoke the universe into existence. None of the elements we know of was here. You spoke them all. You spoke them all. And you wouldn't have, like we said before, you wouldn't even have to speak. You could just think it, and the universe would have come into existence. But Lord, it's all a mystery to me. A lot of it is. But some of it is not a mystery. And the part that is not a mystery, Lord, the part of the will that I know that you have, that you have imparted to us here at Blood River Radio, we're going to try to do your will with every ounce of our energy, Lord. So what we'd like to do, we would like for you to continue to give us the tools to carry out your will. If you would, Lord, we could use some more tools. We really could. We could use some more soldiers, unless you will it otherwise. But Lord, if you will, before I get too long-winded, Lord, if you would continue to give us the strength, give us the wisdom, give us the will, the courage, the discernment, and the ability to always ride toward danger, to always ride toward the sound of the gunfire, to never back down from this enemy, especially during this time of the Lord, time of the year when we're just mere hours away from when we celebrate the birth of your Son on this earth, your Son, Jesus Christ Almighty. So, Lord, I would like to ask you, all these things I've asked you, Lord, in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. People, as you know, we always go to the donors, and we've had some donors this week. Things seem to be picked up a little bit. We have Dennis and Pam Adams, some of our favorite people. We don't have we have very few people that donate to this program. I guess a lot of people don't like us or money short, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, we have Dennis and Pam Adams, just wonderful, wonderful people. They're from Virginia. They also sent this really nice card. They sent a Christmas card last week, and they sent this card right here. It says, "Season's greetings. May the simple joy of Christmas warm your heart, fill your home, and last a lifetime." This part here really lights me up. This is a handwritten right here. It says, "Listening every weekend, unless we are traveling. Then we catch up on Sunday. God bless us all, Dennis and Pam." God bless you too, Dennis and Pam. Thank you so much for the card, this card, the card last week. And thank you so much for the donations, which we could not go without it. The money is the mother's milk of politics. It's the mother's milk of everything. You can't do anything on this earth without money. We also have Ken, Big Ben of Lynbrook, New York. You know, Ken, I know you must be listening. I'd like to tell you, I would do anything to be able to meet you, Big Ben from Lynbrook, New York. You have been a stalwart. You're one of the people I would really love to meet. If you would drop me a line someday, the next time I'm in New York, like I'm running the marathon, I would love to come meet you somewhere. I really would. But Ben, he's here, I mean, multiple times a month. He never fails. It's nothing really huge, but I tell you what, he's really one of our biggest donors. We don't have any huge donors. For people, that was Big Ben in New York, Dennis and Pam. We also have Steve from Baltimore donated again. He donated about a week ago. And I'd like to say, he sent a little wreck letter. I'm going to read a little bit of this letter that he sent in. I'll tell you what, Mark Tommy stole the show. I'm just window dressing. When I first started this program, my vision was to get the best people I could possibly find to come on the show and do the best job they could do. And I wanted to get out of their way and let them do their thing. And it's working really well. We have some really great people in this program. Here's what he says. I'll read the whole letter, but I'm going to read the part. In fact, I just texted Mark and told him that he has a fan. He says, "Hello, Eddie. Mark Tommy really does appeal to me. He has done his homework, and he has style and class in his delivery, a finished product in a way. You have a good one, too, at times. At times a bit like good soup that is too hot to eat and needs to cool a while first." So I guess I need to tone my rhetoric down some according to that. He says, "I go with Blood River Radio about 90%. Miss Hitt was doing it for years in the first Freedom." She talked about that. Miss Nancy talked about the first place. She'd write that paper. I turned on her stuff then. She fine-tunes things for me. Anyway, he goes on to talk about the Jesus Christ. And we won't read that whole letter. It takes, because we're kind of limited on our time. But anyway, I want to thank you so much, Ken Big Ben, Steve from Baltimore, and Pam and Dennis, thank you so much. Your Christmas cards, your letters, and your money. It really comes in handy. Let's see. What else we got here, people? We've got Sister Braveheart. She's on board with us tonight. It's just going to be me and Braveheart this first hour. And I'm getting ready. I'm going to finish this up real quick because we do not want to waste her time. I would just like to say this is coming Christmas. It's only, 2 days away. I must confess, people, I've never been really big at celebrating any of the holy days. I've just never have been that way. I have a very hard time, rhetorically speaking, putting my sword down because our enemy, the enemies of Jesus Christ, the enemies of all white people on earth, their officer corps, the Jews, they never, ever sleep. They never put their sword down. They never rest for a minute. They're attacking every second of every minute of every hour of every day. Let me tell you one more thing before we go, Sister Monica. Here's one thing this never changes. The enemies of Jesus, the enemies of white people, the eternal Jew, there's one thing they want. It's never changed. They want us being white people, especially white Christians, they want us dead. That's, they'll never change. And you can say, well, I'm not racist and I'm not anti-Semitic. Well, you know what? Whatever the hell racist is, they are. I don't care how much you love them. I don't care if you love them more than you do your own firstborn. They hate your guts, and they'll never stop until they get us and you into the ground. Never forget that. And I'll tell you one more thing, too. This never changes. The solution to fighting these people is never, in the end, it's never going to be peaceful. It's always going to be violent. Look at the endless wars we've had here in the United States and in the world. War's going on right now. You're never, and we'll talk about that later. You know, I got to shut the hell up and bring my dear sister, Miss Monica Braveheart. How you doing, Sister Braveheart?
I'm doing really well, Eddie. Thank you so much, and I hope that you are also really well, and you don't have to worry about quote-unquote wasting time or wasting my time on thanking the people who write to you and who donate to this program. That's very, very important, and we salute all those people. Thank you very much. So, yeah.
Well,
go
thanks
ahead.
To people like you and Mark and Nancy. Thanks to people like you and Gene. We do get the donations. Like I said, I know. I'm not the sharpest knife in the rack. I just had this vision of getting the sharp knives and putting a platform out there. That's my job. Kind of like a coach, you might say. Kind of like a manager or something like that. But I know you can hear the music. As soon as we come back, I'm going to go straight to you. And if you're not ready to rock and roll, I got a few things we can take off on. So, dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go if we have a quick break for this commercial. But don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And Merry Christmas, by the way.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging on. I'm a little bit tired tonight. This is a quick aside. I went to a Christmas party, the first and only Christmas party I've been to this year. One of the guys, I used to be a co-host with the Political Cesspool, and Keith Alexander usually has a Christmas party every year. I haven't been to one at his house the last several years, but got invited. So there was a lot of people in town. I had heard rumors that Sam Dixon might be in town, but where I heard, I can't really pin it down. But there was a lot of good people there, some from out of town. Most of them I'd never seen. I went over there with James and his kids, and we had a really good time. But we got home, it was just like, I got into bed at 10:30 last night, so that's super late for me. But anyway, that's just an aside. I wanted to tell you people before I forget. Merry Christmas again, and I'm feel kind of guilty because I never do Christmas programs or Easter programs. It's just not part of part of me. You know, I'm just a warrior. I don't know anything but being a warrior. But anyway, I'll just say this about Christmas. It is a total white, a European event, a Christian. I mean, if you're Christian, if you celebrate Christmas anywhere in the world, you owe it to a white, a European. You really do. And with that, I'll just say one more thing. If you could go to Paul Fromm's site, he always does the good stuff on Christmas. In fact, he sent me something. But anyway, I'm going to shut up now. Miss Monica has something she wants to talk about. So we're going to go over to Miss Monica, my sister, little Miss Braveheart. Go ahead, Miss Braveheart.
Yeah, you know, actually, good that you just mentioned Paul Fromm's name, because a few months ago I ordered this DVD from his, you know, he always has these mail outs and there's always lists of books and DVDs you could order. And I ordered this DVD that I was very interested in this, and it's about Kennewick Man. Probably you've heard about Kennewick Man. Does that name ring a bell for you, Eddie?
It maybe once you get going, but vaguely.
I'm going to tell you, this is a very, very important finding and a very important, it's about our archaeology. It's an archaeology that is suppressed. You could say it's forbidden archaeology, but there is a lot about our ancient history that we are being lied to about, that, and some of these findings have been suppressed like you wouldn't believe. But it relates to, you know, when they call the people here First Nations people, and that's the Indians of North America, they call them First Nations. Now, Kennewick Man is a story about a skeleton that was found, gosh, I forgot which state this was in now, but somewhere in the United States, and it was found by accident by some, you know, college kids who were sneaking in somewhere, I'm not sure where, but anyway, they found this skull, or the whole skeleton, I guess, and all the initial people that they called, they thought this was a recent death, you know, and thinking, oh, we got to call the police, got to call the coroner, got to call it. Like, it went through a chain of people, and they all looked at this, all these people who are practiced and experienced in looking at dead folks and skeletons, and said, oh, white male, white male, white male. But then they discovered, oh, this isn't just recent. This is older, like really older, not from the few days ago, not from a few weeks ago. And then they thought, well, maybe it's from the last century, or maybe it's 100 years old. But then they discovered, no, this is more than 9,000 years old. And then things changed in terms of the information about this white man. Okay, but this, I don't know if you've looked into this general story, Eddie, but there is a ton of evidence. It's not just this one skeleton that they named Kennewick Man. There is a ton of evidence that actually our ancestors, white race people, or people who then are known to be, you know, European people, that we were actually here first. Our ancestors were actually here on this continent first. And there are many, many lines of evidence for this. Anyway, why I related this to Paul Fromm is because that DVD was sent to me in the mail a while back, and I'm embarrassed to say that it took me until last night, yesterday evening. I had a friend over, and let's have a film night. It's really a documentary. It's a film about a speaker, Stephen McNallan. he gave this talk that I think that Paul Frum was the sponsor of that talk. That's what Paul Frum is so good at. He's so great at organizing meetings, and then, you know, there's talks, and, you know, it was very clear from the introductory remarks to that speech, and then the speaker himself, that the people who were in the audience there, they had to run a gauntlet of Antifas and a lot of violence. And this talk was given in 1999, so quite a few years ago. And I'm telling you, they had a really hard time to even get into the venue. And so maybe some didn't get in or were scared off. And that was the idea. Nobody wants this man, you know. And you think, gee, an archaeologist, like, this can be so controversial. We're taught, you know, somebody who digs up old bones, this is controversial. Why are these Antifas here, these people who are really violent and hateful towards the ordinary folk who are trying to go listen to a guy talk about his archaeological findings? But obviously this Kennewick man, and, you know, this became a really hot potato politically, and so word had gotten out that this Stephen McNallan was going to talk about this Kennewick man, and this was forbidden knowledge, right? So, you know, I'll tell you something else, Eddie. When I first did my video, Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust, back in 2016, I was contacted by people from around the world. And I've mentioned that before, but one of the surprising things to me, like, it was just so surprising, were that some people contacted me who were into what we would call alternative archaeology. For example, I remember somebody contacted me from New Zealand, New Zealand. He was an archaeologist, and he told me all kinds of stuff about what he was finding, and his findings were also seriously suppressed. And his findings indicated that before the Maoris, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, the Maoris or Maori people, who we all think are the first peoples in New Zealand, before them, there were blonde or redheaded, blue-eyed folks there. So again, people of our race, they were there first. And now, here's the interesting thing. It's not just our government, which is ruled by the hidden hand, and we all know who that hidden hand is.
Yes, we do.
Not allowed to criticize, lest we be called anti-Semitic. But it's not just the government folks who are against letting this information out. No, guess who else doesn't like this information to get out, Eddie? Can you take a guess?
Gee,
it's the so-called First Nations people, the Indians here, or the Maoris there, or the, you know, the so-called Aboriginal people of Australia, whatever. All these people who...
Native Americans.
It's been drummed into us that the Indigenous peoples, right? The Indigenous peoples of all these places. Yeah, the Native Americans. Okay, but we are Indigenous to somewhere, right? Okay, well, we could say, well, we're Indigenous to European countries. But we are not only just Indigenous to European countries, because our people have been actually all over the earth. I mean, we've heard about in China, there were all these mummies, which were... they were considered like giants or redheaded giants or whatever. I mean, this has happened all over the world, and these things get suppressed. That knowledge gets suppressed. But I think if we did a deep dive, and I have not yet done the deep dive, but I have gotten enough information over the years to be confident enough to say these things on air right now with you, Eddie. And I would encourage people to look more deeply into this, and maybe we should also adjust our language when we are talking about, for example, the Indians of North America, and just call them Indians rather than calling them First Nations, because maybe they aren't first, right? So, but that's, you know, that the government wants us to think they're first, and also they themselves, they do not like it. And this Kennewick man story is super interesting, and I would encourage people to do some research, and I hear the music, but do some research into that, because you will see that...
Oh, go ahead. I'll comment on that as soon as we come back from this commercial. I'll be right back, people. Hang on your seats.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Skip Kelly. Two Colorado paramedics have been convicted in the 2019 death of 23-year-old Elijah McClain. He was a young black man who was stopped by police, tackled, then put in a chokehold, and administered ketamine by paramedics, leading to his death. On Friday, a jury found the two paramedics guilty of criminally negligent homicide, marking the third and final trial after two officers were acquitted and one convicted in connection to the incident. The convictions highlight the legal consequences surrounding McClain's tragic death. In health news, it always seems like there's something out to get us. Laura Winters reports.
In USA News for Your Health, a new coronavirus subvariant spreading that you are likely to hear a lot about. It's called JN1. The CDC estimates it's responsible for a percentage of many of the new cases in our country. Doctors say there is no evidence it causes more severe disease and that current tests and treatments are reportedly effective.
According to a new report from Human Rights Watch, pro-Palestinian content is allegedly facing systematic censorship on Instagram and Facebook, with Meta's policies accused of silencing voices supporting Palestinians through a wave of heightened censorship. The advocacy group documented over 1,500 instances of takedowns and content suppression by Meta, stating that the company's inconsistent and enforcement of its policies led to the erroneous removal of content related to Palestine. The report raises concerns about the impact of censorship on free expression of views surrounding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. As holiday travelers take to the roads this weekend, they are encountering average gas prices of $3.12, which remains largely stable compared to Friday and slightly higher than the national average a week ago, reported at $3.07 by AAA. Drivers in Texas and Oklahoma are experiencing the lowest prices at $2.69, and California retains the nation's highest prices at an average of $4.59 per gallon. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for keeping us on the air, and thank you for hanging out and listening to us. And if you will, forbearing or whatever. But if you will, don't just listen to our program. Even if you don't donate, that's fine. But if you listen and don't donate, just tell one person a day or one person a week. Spread the news about Blood River Radio, because you know, without marketing, without advertising, you die. You cannot survive without marketing and advertising. And we know we serve a great purpose. If you think we're meritorious being on this program, if you think like we do that we're actually making a difference, spread the word. But anyway, before we came back from the break, Braveheart and I, we were talking about, I'm going to start off, Karl Marx, back when he was writing the Communist Manifesto, by the way, and this is an aside, he was good buddies with the sainted Abraham Lincoln. But anyway, he said that, this goes to a point, he said that we need to cut the roots, cut the ties with the young people to the past. You can't do anything with old folks like me. But he said, if you can destroy the knowledge of a person's bloodline, if you can destroy the knowledge of where they came from, then you can get them. Okay, so that leads to the point Sister Monica was talking about, this ancient archaeological find, and lo and behold, it was a skeleton of a white person. Well, I was telling Miss Monica, when I was in grammar school in the 1950s in Memphis, Tennessee, it was in our textbooks of this character named Eric the Red. And he lived, Eric the Red I don't remember if he was a Viking or if he was a Norse, if they would call him a Norseman. I think they're pretty much the same thing, Vikings and Norsemen. We also talked about Leif Erikson. Well, Eric the Red, so it was supposed to be common knowledge. He had come in through Greenland, and he came into North America. And that was years, years and years before Columbus came to America. So, I just mentioned Leif Erikson. It was around the same time. He lived about the same time that Eric the Red did, they think, somewhere around 900 A.D. to 950 to 1000 A.D. But God only knows how many preceded him. And like Miss Monica said, everybody has to be from somewhere. So where did the white people come? We know that we occupied Europe, especially Northern Europe, you know, Germany, Sweden, Norway, Northern France. And that's what they call, used to call Christendom. That used to be the cradle of Christianity here in the United States. But you're so right, Sister Monica. The eternal poisoners of the well, they want to cut off all knowledge that our young people have that would connect them to their ancestors. Because God forbid you would be proud of your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. Everybody, we have great-grandparents going back thousands of years. So, and they do not want us to be proud of that, because if we're proud of our racial kindred, of our racial past, then we're so willing to accept the blame for everything that's bad in this world. How about that, Sister Monica?
Yeah, Eddie, they not only want us to not be proud of those ancient ancestors, they actually are actively erasing the very memory of them and just disseminating lies about, you know, where we have come from and our true histories. And when some of these true archaeologists uncover things, and when the actual real scientists, not the ones that are, you know, giving us all the fake information, but the folks who are actually checking these things out and investigating, and then they try to tell the world, they are immediately suppressed. So they don't want us to understand and know that we were actually all over this world. I would venture to say that Europe became sort of a last stronghold of our people for some, you know, hundreds of years, or maybe even thousands of years, that was kind of like the last stronghold, because everywhere else our people got killed and murdered. Oh, and here's another one of the things that came up in that talk last night is that I watched last night, is Stephen McNallan, who gave this talk in 1999 that I watched on the DVD last night. He was saying that, you know, okay, the Indians, they'll come up with their oral history to go against our history. But you know what, even amongst their oral history, and he named some direct tribe or peoples who had talked about this oral history, but it's not talked about publicly, like this is also suppressed, that they actually do have some oral history that talks about when they came and killed those who were here before us on this continent, Eddie. There is, yes, oral history, like, you know, ancient legends about that amongst some tribes. They say, oh yeah, we killed them all. And there's some cave, I'd have to watch the talk again, where this actually might have been on another continent, I can't remember now, but where there's a legend, this cave where the Indians or whoever, you know, these people were, that came and basically chased all the remaining white people into this cave and then sealed it off and suffocated them and killed anyone that tried to escape and run out. I mean, they just basically were you know, quite proud about their slaughter, their genocide of our ancestors. You know, and for a lot of people, this might seem shocking to hear this, what we're talking about right now. Certainly when I first heard this kind of thing, I was so surprised that I thought, oh boy, really? Like, can that possibly be? And it's one of those things that needs to perhaps simmer for a while, and then you have to do some research into it and do some digging into this. And I'm telling you, it's just another aspect of our history that we've been lied to. And to go on about what you're saying about that they want us to hate our ancestors. And I was saying, okay, they want to erase the very history. But, you know, there is this thing called the generation gap that we grew up with, you know, and those of us who grew up in the 60s, 70s, and this thing, we just were made to believe that's just the most natural thing on earth. I don't think so. I think that's another Jewish construct that's been kind of injected into our cultural thinking, is that there's just this natural generation gap that happens, that, you know, it's just natural to feel sort of disdain, I guess, for your elders. Nothing could be further from the truth. I think in previous times, and when we were living amongst our own people in homogeneous societies and healthy societies, the young people would have reverence for their elders.
Yes.
And
yes.
Sure, I mean, while we're growing up, there's always a natural sort of, you know, as we're growing up and going through certain years of our development, yes, there's a natural propensity to kind of push the boundaries and those kind of things, of course. I mean, pushing the boundaries that causes us to do adventurous things and learn a lot of things, but not to hate our ancestors and not to be ashamed, for example, of our ancestors or our parents or our grandparents. You see, what the Jews have done is cause us to sever our roots. So if we have this generation gap and it's so uncool to you know, be around your parents or your grandparents or whatever, then you hate that culture. You're not going to continue that the traditions. You're not going to love your ancestors' traditions. So you're cutting the roots. If you cut the roots of a tree, what happens? The tree dies. And this is what one of the tactics that is being used to kill us, to, you know, to, like, that we know, and it's not a secret that the Jews want us dead. I mean, when you have a Harvard professor saying it loudly and clearly, and it being propagated by the Jewish-owned media, which is the, you know, 99% of the media, the mass media anyway, is all Jewish-owned and controlled. A Harvard professor by the name of Noel Ignatieff, just talking on and on about, you know, whiteness or is bad, and we have to get rid of white, kill the, you know, bash the old dead ones and all the live, yes, ones, like, just bash them till they're gone. And you know, to, what does he say? Something about, like, if you like whiteness, is treason to humanity or something, or the opposite, you know, like, just, he was just going on and on. And it's not like he was called a hater and he wasn't put in jail for hate speech. Are you kidding me? He was repeated, like, people lauded him. They were, oh, look, isn't he just brilliant, man?
Toxic
and
male.
And I already hear
male,
the music.
It's a toxic male masculinity. Be right back, people, after this quick break.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Let me tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to wish you again a very Merry Christmas. Sorry I didn't put forth a Christmas program, but like I've said, it's just never been part of me to do that. It's like to be a choreographer, organizing dances or celebrations. It's just not in my blood. I just can't put my sword down. But we've been talking about it. I'm on here with Sister Monica Schaefer, a.k.a. Sister Braveheart. And we've been talking about the importance of knowing your ancestors, knowing where you came from. You didn't come from a damn ape. You didn't come from a sewer. And like the eternal poisoners of the well want you to believe, that they want you to hate your ancestor. They want you to hate your parents, your grandparents. They want you to hate yourself. Because like we said, Don Monica says it, I've said we know it. Never forget, this is the important fact, the most important fact. They want you, they being the eternal enemy of Jesus Christ, the sons of their father, the devil, as Jesus Christ called the Jews their father. They were their father, the devil. That's in the scripture. That's St. John 8:44. So, and they want nothing short of you dead. You being all white people, especially white Christians, they want you dead. They hate you with a perfect satanic hatred, a virulent hatred. That's why. They want to destroy. One of their methods to get rid of us is to make us hate ourselves. It's to make you not want to live. And matter of fact, it makes it cool if you hate yourself and you think that you're worthless, then you won't want to reproduce. And it's so cool and avant-garde nowadays not to have any children, not to get married, because you don't deserve to live. The blacks and the browns, et cetera, are far superior to you because you are a low-down white and you're just a natural-born racist. But with that, Miss Monica wanted to say something else. And if we have time, I would like to relate some anecdotal experiences to you that I've had in the past 2 weeks. But go ahead, Sister Monica.
Well, just the last thing that you said before the last break was about toxic masculinity.
Yes.
And it was right after I was talking about Noel Ignatieff, that Jew who wants us all dead and says so very loudly, right? But anyway, so I was in that first instance, I thought you were calling him the toxic guy, which he is. He's very toxic. But the toxic masculinity meme, you could say, that idea, that has been injected also into our people, into our society, into our culture by the eternal poisoners of the wells to make the women and men basically be hating each other. And now,
absolutely,
that's not how it's supposed to be. I mean, we are... that just goes without saying. I mean, how is that going to lead towards healthy families, healthy societies? And the family is the cornerstone of healthy societies.
Yes, it is.
The sexes have been put up against each other by implanting this idea into young women's hearts and minds that, ooh, toxic masculinity, anything that's strong male, and then generally speaking, strong white male, ooh, that's toxic masculinity. I mean, you even have commentators on mainstream radio and television, they're talking about this toxic masculinity, like anything that's masculine is toxic. Excuse me. Like, there's something really, really, really sick about that concept. So I wanted to just, you know, to comment on that, Eddie. And yeah, there were some other things we were going to talk about. I've forgotten now where we were going, but you go ahead with your story.
Okay, a couple of items I'd like to talk about. One of them, and I'll try to cram it in, and these two incidences, you can comment on them. A couple of weeks ago, I took off. I told the people I went deer hunting. I left late and came back early because I had so much work to do. But on my trip to Natchez Trace State Forest, from where I live, it's a 225-mile round trip. I stopped at a McDonald's going and a McDonald's coming back in a truck stop. In both cases, all three locations, so they were covered up with non-whites, non-English-speaking people. I mean, just thick as fleas. And I noticed something now that you didn't notice as much several years ago. You get these aggressive type stares and whispering. Like it's almost you can read their mind. They're thinking, what is this gringo doing here? It's getting very, very pronounced. That you see that all the time now. And you know, I related that incident is ties together with when I went to, I'm always talking about Shelby Farms here, the largest urban park in the United States. It's located here in Memphis, Tennessee, and I do a lot of working out there. So Sunday, I think it was Sunday, December the 10th, I was over there. It's a very huge park. One of the trails I run on, they have a Chickasaw Trail. It's over 3 miles. You can go for miles and miles and miles down through the Wolf River bottoms. But here's the story. This particular Sunday was covered up, Monica, with hundreds of non-whites. It was kind of unnerving. There's so many of them on the Chickasaw Trail. It was like a conveyor belt. This is a 3 mile trail, 3.5 mile trail. That thick as fleas. And I never knew there were so many Palestinians in Memphis, Tennessee. And this leads to a point. I got to make another point in a minute too about a totally different topic. But they were having this big, the Palestinians were having a big rally over there. They had these huge Palestinian flags with signs that said, "Welcome to Palestine. This nation of Palestine welcomes you." So I said, bingo, this is a great opportunity to get one of these Palestinians on the radio. So I'll go up there and we'll try to find out who the head honcho is. And typically, this happened to me twice. I have lost respect for these Palestinians because I told the guy, your problem is you have no guts. I offered a Palestinian physician to come. I gave her an opportunity to come on Blood River Radio right before I went to New York. Our people will probably remember me saying that. I was all excited, had this Palestinian physician to come on Blood River Radio and give her take because she said she had relatives, a blood kin in Palestine that were still being, you know, just rubbed out, being killed and tortured by the Jews. So she promised to come on. Well, she was a no-call, no-show. Well, the same thing happened to this dude, this Palestinian man. And even when I invited him on the radio, you could tell he was wishy-washy, Monica. And sure enough, he didn't call. So it's pretty much like a lot of white people. They want people like us to go out and stick our neck out on the line and take the chances and thump the nose of the FBI and the Jews. And we want to do their dirty work, but they don't want to send a donation. They don't want to help you. They won't even come on the damn radio and plead their own case. So I say, to hell with the Palestinians. You know, tough titty. Because if you want help your own self, you know, I've just lost confidence in them. I'm going to get one other quick topic here, Monica, then I'll get your comments on both of these topics I'm talking about. I see where Xi Jinping, the head honcho of Red China, and never forget it's Red China. It's a brutal communist dictatorship. They think of nothing of selling the organs of their own people. If you give them any trouble politically, give them any trouble in any way, shape, form, or fashion, they'll think of nothing of taking your organs. That's the type of state that place is. Well, Xi Jinping was over in San Francisco recently, and he was talking to Joe Biden, and supposedly he told Joe Biden that they're going to take Taiwan soon. He said he didn't know his exact timetable, between sometime between now and late 2024. And I'm thinking that is kind of spooky, because I know I'm 76 years old, be 77 in April. And all my life, it's been the policy of the United States to defend Taiwan. This is coming to a point, people. But I know what a lot of the young people don't know, that during the Korean War, and actually before that, when General Chiang Kai-shek was fighting against Chairman Mao, General Mao Zedong. General Mao Zedong was the communist leader fighting actually before the Korean War, during World War II. But Chiang Kai-shek, he had tried to model his. I'm getting kind of long. I got to wrap this up. He modeled their constitution after the United States Constitution. He had to retreat. He was losing. He had to retreat to Taiwan. The United States was supposed to be fighting against the communists then, but they took the firing pins out of the rifles. They were sending Chiang Kai-shek. So this is winding up to this point right here. The Yankee government, if they do a complete about face and take sides with Red China and throw Taiwan to the wolves, that to me is that should be evidence to anyone that this United States of America has been completely taken over by the Communist Party. And here's the other point, too. Don't get confused in thinking that the Chinese are running this thing. It is always the Jew. Because you know what? This could have never happened if the Jew-controlled media had been keeping Americans informed of all the shenanigans that the Chinese have been up to, and also the Jews, going back to that great Jew, Henry Kissinger, who went over to China while during the Vietnam War and opened up China, shipped all of our industry over there. I could go on, but I'm taking up too much time, but you get the general drift. I wish I had a few more minutes, but I don't, because we're running out of time. I want to get Miss Monica's, get her comments on these two topics. Go ahead, Miss Monica. Sorry we took up, I didn't do a very good job explaining about those two scenarios. Go ahead.
No, you did, Eddie. And I think what's we have to do is carry this conversation over into the next hour.
Yes.
Because I know we're about to run out of time here, but there's a lot there that we need to cover, and all of it is connected. And all of it, I would say, to summarize, is connected to white genocide. All of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Because even... Yeah, I mean, the point about the Palestinians, okay, I have a huge amount of compassion, and I know you do too. None of us want the Palestinians to be slaughtered wholesale there, because that's the Jews wanting to just take over land that is not theirs to begin with and never was, because these are not the Semitic people, or not originally Semitic people anyway, those who are call themselves Jews today. But the point is now is that they want to clear their land of whoever is not murdered outright and get the rest of the world to absorb them, which once again leads to white genocide. So that,
yes.
And it's very sad that those Palestinians that you offered to give them a platform, and that you got stiffed on that. You got, you know, that they didn't come up to the plate. Why not? You know, that would have been a great opportunity for them to tell their story. But anyway,
yes.
There's something else you talked about, the pit stops or the McDonald's and whatnot. I want to talk about that, because here where I live and everywhere I've noticed it, wherever I've traveled within Alberta and British Columbia, and I imagine it's the rest of the country too, all the motels and hotels are being taken over by East Indians. We're talking about people with turbans on. And
oh,
I do
Sister
hear the music,
Monica,
and I want
to
talk
we'll
about
to
that.
Yes,
that
we're out
I
of
do
time.
Hear that.
Yes, we got a time. People, hang on.
Yeah.
We're going to transition to the second hour, and we'll pick up this topic, because we need to expand on that greatly. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats. Going to the second hour.